ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 3, text 35. Shriyan Swadharamo Viguna Paradharamat Svanushtitat Svadharame Nidhanam Shreya Paradharamo Bhayavaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Purport. One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness rather than those prescribed for others. Materially, prescribed duties are duties enjoined according to one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. But whether material or spiritual, one should stick to his prescribed duties even up to death, rather than imitate another's prescribed duties. Duties on the spiritual platform and duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following the authorized direction is always good for the performer. When one is under the spell of the modes of material nature, one should follow the prescribed rules for his particular situation and should not imitate others. For example, a Brahmana who is in the mode of goodness is non-violent, whereas a Kshatriya who is in the mode of passion is allowed to be violent. As such, for a Kshatriya, it is better to be vanquished following the rules of violence than to imitate a Brahmana who follows the principles of non-violence. Everyone has to cleanse his heart by a gradual process, not abruptly. However, when one transcends the modes of material nature and is fully situated in Krishna consciousness, he can perform anything and everything under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In that complete stage of Krishna consciousness, the Kshatriya may act as a Brahmana, or a Brahmana may act as a Kshatriya. In the transcendental stage, the distinctions of the material world do not apply. For example, Vishvamitra was originally a Kshatriya, but later on he acted as a Brahmana, whereas Parashuram was a Brahmana, but later on he acted as a Kshatriya. Being transcendentally situated, they could do so, but as long as one is on the material platform, he must perform his duties according to the modes of material nature. At the same time, he must have a full sense of Krishna consciousness. Shayan Swadharamo Viguna Paradharamat Swanushtitat Swadharame Nidhanang Shreya Paradharmo Bhayavaha. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Here in Tamil Nadu, a certain political leader takes the lead in condemning Bhagavad Gita for upholding the caste system. And the caste system, as it's going on in, or still going on in India today, is largely based on birth, with the idea that if you're born in a certain family, you have a certain duty to perform, although nowadays that's all breaking down for various reasons. One reason is factories. There's no caste of factory workers. So, and various, and with mechanical new devices being invented, many of the old traditional duties are no longer relevant. Just like, for instance, barbers don't have so much to do as they used to because people shave themselves at home. Still, they cut hair. That's just one example among many. Farming is all becoming mechanized, so the number of farmers proportionately is decreasing. But it was a major consideration. It's not that the... there were many considerations. It was just like it was considered... It wasn't even considered, it wasn't even thought of that someone, say, from a who's born of a barber would go to school and get an education. It was just unthinkable. And not the barbers, the tanners, the shoemakers, the shudras, and less than shudras, they didn't go to school. And now in India, they're trying to make it that everyone should go to school. And they made some laws, and all of a sudden the whole, they have to make everyone go to school, but they're not. They made this some law that they have to have it ready by such a time that everyone has education. But they didn't have the infrastructure. They didn't train enough teachers, and so they're blaming the headmasters in the schools. But what can they do? Anyway, that's what you get when you have people in charge who are not properly in charge. They don't know how to organize society. So it was a major consideration is in the caste system, which is derived from the Varnashram system. There's serious problems with the caste system, but it is... Why is the baby going in the kitchen? She should never go in there. Everyone had their role to play. So it was considered wrong if a brahmana would fight. Duryodhana was blamed. Sorry, Dronacharya was blamed for that. And it was considered wrong if a kshatriya was not ready to fight. Arjuna was blamed for that. So different laws for different people. If a kshatriya refuses to fight, he's blamed. If a brahmana fights, he's blamed. So different people are there are different things which different people are supposed to do. And there's a reason for this. I mean, Srila Prabhupada explained this many times, that after all, people are born with different mentalities according to the mentality that they inherited from their previous life, according to the modes of nature. So there's no use to try and train people who don't have the inherent ability to try and train them to be very great scholars. And there's no use to train someone who doesn't have the inherent ability to be a good fighter. It just doesn't work. There are many considerations. I mean, if someone has a very weak body, how are they going to be a fighter? If they have a very weak mind, how are they going to be a... Even if they have a strong body, if they have a weak mind, then they can't be a good fighter. Dhanada Swami told it in his childhood, he grew up in New York City. There was a boy who was very short, but he dreamed of being a basketball champion. But to be a to excel in basketball, you have to be minimum 2 meters high, because it's a game which requires jumping high. So it was an impossible dream. A little, short stature, and the idea that he would be a basketball champ. So he could practice as much as he liked and he could be expert, but there's no way he could be a basketball champion because it's too short. So mentally also people have different propensities. There are different psychological theories about this. The Vedic understanding is that people are born with certain propensities and they should be trained accordingly. And that by training, instead of trying to train someone for what they're not suitable, and then they can't do it properly anyway, you train them for what they're suitable to do, and then they can excel in that. If someone has artistic ability, you can train them to be an artist, and they'll be very good. If someone doesn't have artistic ability, and you try to train them, they won't be a good artist, and they won't be happy anyway, because they don't like to do it. So it makes sense, of course. What comes in Shastra makes sense. It's only to stupid people, means of the modern age, who had this idea, equal rights, so everyone has an equal right to be a basketball champion. But you don't, because there are certain prerequisites which come with the body. So everyone has the right to be the leader of the country. Well, however much you may criticize the present leader of the country, it's probably better that he's in the post than me or you. Well, actually not, because if we take training from Prabhupada, then we'd be better in the post. But someone who has no experience of administration or politics or law or any such thing, if we just take one of these women working here and send her up to Delhi and make her the prime ministeress, it's not going to work very well. I mean, they should know English and Hindi, and they don't. So that's a major disqualification. Apart from anything else, they have no qualification whatsoever for the job. So it just makes sense, the idea that all equal rights, but no, people are different and they have to be trained accordingly. So it's actually, there are many advantages of this system. It's not a perfect system, even though it's made by Krishna. It's not perfect in as much as it's meant for the material world, and nothing in the material world is perfect. You can say it's the perfect template, but then people are going to mess it up, because that's what people do in the material world. They're all messed up anyway. Just to be here, we're all in strange consciousness. But you have your duty to do, you do that, and you know this person does this person does something else, this person does something else. And it helps to a large extent to alleviate the tension which is almost always there between rulers and ruled. There has to be a ruler, and that means they have to dominate those who are ruled, and then they take service from them, they take taxes from them, and they're supposed to give back. But generally everyone thinks that I deserve more, or I want more. And you can't satisfy everyone all the time, as I'm often finding out that different disciples come to me with their disputes, and they expect that I should just, if they don't side with me, then Guruji is wrong. But you can't side with both parties. And in most cases, it's a bit of both, that both sides, there's something wrong like that. So you can't satisfy everyone all the time in the material world, because it's the material world, and satisfaction comes from when we completely surrender to Krishna. And as long as we're not completely surrendered to Krishna, we're going to be dissatisfied, and we're going to blame it on someone else, and the natural person to blame it on is the leader. It's all his fault. He should do this and that and that's everything else. So the Varnashram system, to a large extent, if it's properly followed, it minimizes tension between rulers and ruled, which is always there. Just like if there's a famine, then the ruler is blamed. He's not administering properly, therefore the earth, she's not giving food, or there's not enough rain. It's the ruler's fault. We find in Vedic times that the ruler is responsible even if there's not enough rain. Why is that? Because he's supposed to organize society, to perform yajnas, and see that everyone's properly following their duties. And if that happens, then yajyad bhavati parjanyaha. From the performance of yajna will come rain. And then from rain, anad bhavanti bhutani parjanya dana sambhavaha. From rain comes grains, and then people can live on grains. Most people, that's the most basic requirement in human society. It's not iPods, it's anna, anad bhavanti bhutani. We live on food, most basic thing. We don't, air is not mentioned, that's a given, that's there. All the time. Of course, a lot of time the air nowadays is polluted. I was just seeing a video recently how in the northern Maldives, which is way out in the ocean, the air is polluted. How is that? Because there's a thick swath of pollution comes from India. So we may think that we're in Karamandurai out on the hill and all the air is clean, but if the air is unclean in the Maldives because of India, then it means that everywhere in India is, the air is polluted, actually. You can't go anywhere where it's not polluted. Anyway, getting off the subject here. Well, it is the subject also, because the rulers are misruling. But anyway, the Vedic system means everyone has their duty to perform, and then they have certain rights. In the Jajamani system, which was... Have you heard of that? You don't know what that is. You don't even know what it is. That was the social system all over India until democracy, independence. Well, everyone in the village, everyone has their role to play, and the barber, for instance, he'll go to this person's once a month or twice a month. He'll cut the nails. Everything's prescribed, and then they give him a bag of wheat and this and that. Everything's all worked out. Your duties and your what you get, it's all worked out. So everyone knows what they have to do. Everything's clear. And there's not really... The modern society is based on the idea of get more, 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 more. But there's nothing more to get anyway, because if you're living in a village, there's only a certain amount of rice grown, and you can only eat a certain amount anyway. And the local landowner, king, zamindar, jajaman, whatever different names may be there, he lives somewhat opulently, but that's accepted that he's in that situation because he was more pious than me in a previous life. And we need him to make sure that everyone's doing what they're supposed to do. So everyone's supposed to be satisfied with this. That's the idea. Everyone has their duty. You just do that. Don't. And if you do someone else's duty, one of the things you're going to do is take away their work. So if someone thinks that, well, I don't need a barber, I'll shave myself. Well, then what does the barber do? Then you're taking... He has the right to perform his duty. And if you perform it, then you're impinging on his right. So he's supposed to do that. His father does it, his grandfather did it, his great-grandfather did it, and that's what they do. And who are you to come along and say we don't... Then it upsets the whole system. But still there's discontent. The discontent is likely to be there because people are discontent in this world. We see that Lord Rama... He had his spies. The kings have spies. Maybe not a small king in a village, but a big king in a city has to have spies. The spies are for, as in modern society, spies are for external spying on enemies and for internal spying also, although it's against the law in the Western countries, and it wasn't in Russia, but internal spying. The KGB was for outside and for inside also. And everyone was, especially in the time of Stalin, everyone was spying on everyone else. And you couldn't even trust your own wife, she might report you. Why get a divorce if you can get your husband shot? So, so internal spying is also required. The state requires to keep a track of his own citizens, because someone might be fomenting a revolution. But so Lord Ram himself personally went and spied. Spied means he mixed with the people just to see what they're saying. Then he heard the washerman blaming him. So Rama, he was spying. He wanted to see how the people are feeling. He didn't just rely on the report of his ministers. They'd all say, yes, yes, everything's all right, but everything's all right. You may not be able to fully trust the minister, because they may be exploiting the people, and then they'll say it's all right. They want the king to think that it's all right so that they can exploit them. They can go on with their exploitation business. So they also, yes, yes, everything okay. But the king, he has to also check. And he has to trust some people. He can't be, of course, Lord Ram is all-knowing, but he's taking the role of an ordinary person. So the king, he can't know everything. The king sees through his eyes, no, through his spies. The Shastric statement, the king sees through his spies. The Brahman, what does he see through? Sees through Shastra. Was specifically mentioned Jyotish. This is for gaining knowledge of, this means for gaining knowledge of what's going on in the world. So the king finds out through his spies, and the Brahmana finds out through astrology. It's a more subtle way of doing things. So that constant friction is there, and it appears that at some point in history there was some friction between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. They're supposed to cooperate, but they're both powerful. Brahmanas, they're more powerful, but they let the Kshatriyas do the work of administering. But sometimes there may be some friction. But this principle we see, that not to perform the action of another. That Brahmanas, they were powerful enough to curse someone, and then they'd just die. They could do that. But they would engage Kshatriyas. I mean, there are many examples. They would engage Kshatriyas for killing, because it's not their duty to kill others. And if they kill others, then their Brahma Tej becomes reduced. They build up power, mystic power, by performing austerities and performing religious activities, chanting mantras and so on. And by following their duties, they get mystic power just by following their duty. There's story in them how you get mystic power by following your duty. That's described in Mahabharata. There's one story of one brahmachari who was meditating under a tree, but then some bird passed, stool on him as he was, and then he cursed the bird and it died. And then after some time he went into the local village to collect alms, ALMS, bhiksha, and he was knocking on the door, and the woman came late, and she said, "Don't think you're going to curse me like you cursed that bird to die. I'm serving my husband. That's my main duty. So you can wait." He said, "How did you know that I cursed a bird to die?" He said, "Because I serve my husband. I get power by doing so. More than you get by sitting under a tree cursing birds because they pass stool on you." So the Brahmanas, they were engaged in highly potent activities, chanting mantras, studying the Vedas, performing austerities, and they got a lot of power, and they could kill someone just by mantra. Whereas the Kshatriyas, they had to train and go through years of training and using weapons, and the weapons could also be powered by mantra. but still there are weapons, not just mantras, there are physical weapons. So the brahmanas could kill others who disturbed them, but they engaged kshatriyas to do so. That way the brahmanas, they didn't lose their mystic potency. And they upheld the position of the kshatriyas, who are supposed to protect the brahmanas and to protect all of society. And the kshatriya, the brahmanas, if they kill someone by mantra, then they expend the results of their pious activities. But if the kshatriya kills someone, not just like a hooligan, dacoit who just goes and kills someone, but on religion, on dharmic principles, someone who deserves to be killed, who should be killed. The brahmana, he gains pious merit by doing so. So there are many examples, just like Vishwamitra took the young boys, Rama and Lakshman. He took them out for destroying those demons. There was a woman, what's her name? Tartaka. And then Maricha, Rama just shot him to the other side of India. He had some other duty to perform later on. Similarly, at Naimisharanya, the rishis there were being tormented by one rakshasa called Balvala. And when Balaram came, the rishis had Balaram kill Balvala. They didn't kill him themselves, even though he was causing them so much disturbance. But when they had the opportunity to engage a kshatriya, of course Balaram's not a kshatriya in the normal sense, but he is playing the role of a kshatriya, as Rama is playing the role of a kshatriya. So they would engage them like this. Just recently I was reading how Srila Prabhupada, he was commenting how when he went to America, America was in the throes of the Vietnam War. They call it the Vietnam War. In Vietnam they probably call it the American War. But we always used to hear about the Vietnam War, because there's the Vietnam War, the Korean War, and there's so many wars they're involved in, one after the other. Just as an aside, it's nothing really to do with the class, that last summer in Los Angeles I saw a car. Someone had written on big letters on the car, "America is addicted to war." So, at least they have the freedom to say so. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he often commented how they're trying to catch the young men and send them to war. But they're not fit for fighting. They're all shudras. They're not fit for fight. And Prabhupada said one reason they made this war is just to get, they want to get rid of all the hippies because they're all so useless people. So just send them all out to Vietnam and get them all shot dead or blown up, or if you're unfortunate enough to be captured by the Viet Cong, you might be hung upside down from a tree and have your testicles cut off and your arms cut off and left to bleed to death. So we heard stories like that. Of course, they're also My Lai. Anyway, you can look it up in the internet if you want. What My Lai is, it's one of the atrocities committed by the American forces in Vietnam. They just went in a village called My Lai and killed everyone. Srila Prabhupada commented, they're not fit for fighting. They don't want to fight, he said, but he said that the British, they were able to expand their empire because they had the Indians. And the Indians, not all of them, but certain of them, they'll automatically join the army. Because they're kshatriya, they have an actual kshatriya caste still. Whereas in the West, they're all just shudras, that's all. Even now in the American army, they're all smoking dope and whatever drugs they can. And in Afghanistan, when the Russian army was there, they're all stoned all the time. They're not fighters. They're not fit for fighting. They're just interested in sex and intoxication. That's all. So, but Srila Prabhupada said that they're In India, even now, there are certain people, then automatically they'll go to and they'll join the army because they're Kshatriya by caste. And you see, there are so many Sikhs, not all Sikhs, but many of them, they have the Kshatriya inclination, the Gurkhas of Nepal, who still are their main strength in the Indian army, even though they're Nepali. But they all, many of them, they join the Indian army. They're real Kshatriyas. Then in Gujarat, the Jadeja is the family name. This Gokulchandra, he also told me that his father's from Montenegro. That's one of the states of the former Yugoslavia. So from Montenegro, you see, Gokulchandra looks tall, but in Montenegro, he's just a midget. Like the average height there is like 2 meters or something. So they'd all join the young men, they just join the army or the police, that's all. And all the ex-Yugoslavia police and army. Of course, they had the draft there also, but the professional soldiers, they're mostly all from Montenegro because they're like that. They're fighting people. They have that. And their codes of honor, which means that they have generation after generation, they have these feuds going on. What's that called? I can't remember the name. So they family feuds going on generation after generation. So they're real fighters. So Prabhupada said, because the Indian army, the Indians were serving in the British army, and they were the strength by which the British, they were able to expand in different parts of the world. So if you just pull someone out and say, okay, put down your books and pick up a gun, then it's not going to work. We're going to have a whole lot of fun, but they didn't think it was fun. So you'd find things, it was quite common, we used to hear in Vietnam, that they'd find the officer who was leading the charge, they'd find his body, he'd been shot dead, but the bullets were in his back. It means he wasn't shot by the enemy, he was shot by his own men. They're not Kshatriyas, they're just Rakshasas, and so. So you require the right people to do the right job. Srila Prabhupada also spoke about people who are natural Vaishyas. He told one anecdote of a person from a Vaishya family who had completely no money whatsoever. So he asked another Vaishya for some capital to begin a business. And the man pointed out in the street, there was a dead rat. He said, that is your capital. Because at the time there was a plague going on in Calcutta, so the local municipal corporation, or whatever it was called at that time, they used to give some money if anyone brought in a dead rat, because the plague was supposed to be caused by rats. So that man took the rat, got his whatever it was, it wouldn't have been one anna even in those days. They had 16 annas makes 1 rupee, and would have been less than one anna. And then he bought something, he sold it, and Srila Prabhupada said, within course of time, his family, who started off with the capital that he got from one dead rat, became one of the biggest mercantile families in the whole of Calcutta. That's the Vaishya spirit. They know how to make money. Whereas you see some of our devotees, there are many cases I know of, devotees, they take a loan, they think, yeah, I'll do a business. It's very straightforward. You know, you buy something, you sell it, you make money, and see, he did it, I can do it. Or they work overseas, they earn quite a lot of money, and they say, okay, I'll come back to India and I'll do business. And either they take the loan and they lose it all, and then they have to go overseas to work to pay it off. Or they spend their whole life working to pay it off. Or all the money they earn, 20 years working overseas, they invest it in some business and lose it all. Because they think, yeah, it's easy to make money, but they don't know what they're doing, and they just lose it all. So there are certain psychophysical, Srila Prabhupada uses that word in the purport here, tendencies which we inherit through the modes of nature. And it's important to have the right people in the right place. It's a common thing that there's a revolution and the revolutionary leader becomes the new leader of the country. He was a good revolutionary leader, but he turns out not to be a good leader of the country. To lead a revolutionary force is not the same as ruling a country in peacetime. It's a completely different ball game, as they say. So it's a common thing that the revolutionary leader, it becomes a terrible peacetime administrator. On the other hand, someone who you might say, well, to be the leader, he should be well trained. He should be go to have a university education and all this kind of thing. But even that might not be necessary. Training is required. The Kshatriyas, they were trained to be Kshatriyas. But someone, they may have some natural ability, just like we often used to hear this story of Henry Ford. I've heard this story in ISKCON several times, years ago. Everything we used to hear years ago, that's all been replaced by all modern things nowadays. And nowadays we hear examples from Stephen Covey. Even he's out of date now. I'm not up with the latest. Mother Teresa was very popular in ISKCON at one time. I don't know who the latest fashion leader is. But anyway, we used to hear this story of Henry Ford was challenged that how can you be the head of such an important company, employing so many people, making cars that people have to drive, and you're not even literate. He said, and if we were to ask you about some complex questions about the, the torsion, I can't remember, because I'm not an engineer, but torque is one word, or the certain balance of energies within the system. So the person was challenging him, said, yeah, you ask any question. He said, and it's such a big company, such complex accounts, and you don't know anything about it. How can... He said, you ask any question, I'll answer it. So he asked him some complex question about the distribution of weight between the chassis and the axis and the body. He said, yeah, I can answer that, no problem whatsoever. So he rang a bell, the person said, came in and said, go and call so-and-so. So he called his chief engineer, said, okay, that's the answer. He gave the answer. And said, well, you know, complex accounts and income and expenditure, tax, complex taxes. Yeah, yeah, no problem. He called his chief accountant and gave the answer. So he was a good leader because he knew, it's not that the Kshatriya himself is expert in everything, but he knew, he knows, the Kshatriya especially has to see, this person is good for this, should be engaged like that. This person is good for this, should be engaged for that. This person is good for this, should be engaged like that. And of course, it's not just a matter of psychophysical propensity, but training is required. For instance, your father may be a barber, or someone's father may be a barber, but unless the person's trained, you wouldn't want him to shave your throat with that open blade. He might unwittingly decapitate you or slice open your jugular vein. So training is required, even to be a barber. Even to cook rice, you have to know how to do it. You think, well, just get some rice, stick it in a pot, put some water, put it on the flame, but no, you have to know. It's different varieties of rice, different varieties of water, how hot the flame is, there's so many things you have to consider. Chapatis even more so. If you think that, well, chapatis are made of flour and water, so let's save money. Instead of having, about 75% atta and 25% water. Maybe that's a bit. So let's save money. Let's I've got a new idea. We'll have 25% atta and 75% water. But it doesn't work. You don't get chapatis. There's a system, and you have to be trained how to follow that, how to do that. So everything needs training. Everyone is meant to be trained. In every varna, every ashram, means brahmacharya has a certain training. Grihastha life needs a certain training. So it's not necessary they go to a school, just like at Vallabhvidyanagar. The girls, because all the girls have to get an education, otherwise no one will marry them. So they go to the college and they study home science and they get a degree, which means how to wash clothes and how to clean the floor and all this kind of thing, which normally they'd learn from their mothers, but because they have to have a degree and their mothers are out working, they have to go to a college and get a degree in it. Stupid. Just so stupid. You can even get a master's degree. I don't know what that's in. Maybe origami or something. So everyone has to be trained. And the training is not just in performing your duty, but how to interact, how a baba should deal with the king. He also has to shave the king. When he's shaving the king, he has to move his head. The baba becomes the boss when he's shaving the king. But that doesn't mean that he treats him insolently, or at any other time that he'll tell the king, just move your head a little to the, but any other time he can't give orders to the king. When he's shaving, he can do, and only certain orders. He can't tell him that, actually you should attack the neighboring kingdom. It's not his duty. His Brahmin advisor can tell him that, but it's not the duty of the baba to do so. So everyone has to be trained. It may not be formal training. It's informal. Training is formal and informal. That's everywhere. There's formal training, and there's a lot of formal training in the modern age, going to school and college. But actually, the real training in anything comes when you leave school. That whatever you learn in school, you can just forget it all, and then when you come out and you get a job, and then you start to learn about whatever it is. Even if you have vocational training, whatever they teach you is all out of date anyway. So if you have a course in computer science, whatever they teach you is already out of date, because the syllabus is never up with what's going on in the computer world. So you could take a course that would be useful, how to turn on a computer, how to use the mouse, and one or two other things, how to plug it in, and anything else it's not going to be relevant. So everyone, in the modern age, everyone is trained to be a Shudra. And a sense gratifier. No one is trained in sense control. No one is trained that the purpose of life is to get free from the cycle of birth and death, to understand our constitutional position as the servant of Krishna. And so we have a society in which leaders, they're Shudras also. Everyone's a Shudra. And they just offer people sense gratification. That's all. So we can't expect a society to be well ordered if they don't know the purpose of life, and they don't know even the basic points of how to divide society according to psychophysical necessity. And they've made the goal of life sense gratification. And you see that, it's quite obvious, though, the whole society, it's just always disturbed. It's just the normal situation of society that it's always disturbed. upadruta. He upadruta, the main symptom of Kali Yuga is that people are always disturbed. And it's not just because of our own minds, that's one factor. But the whole situation, you can't trust anyone. You don't know what your situation in the world is. You don't have any secure. At least in the old caste system, the barber's son, he had a job for life. There'll always be hair growing out of people's faces, men's faces especially. So there'll always be a need of a barber. But now in the modern age, you do an education. I got to get a job, but you don't know if you get a job or not. Just last time I was here, a young man came, an electrician, and the man who was with him told me that the one who's the electrician, he's actually a degree holder in computer science, but he's working as an electrician because how many degree holders in computer science can get jobs anyway? No, he seemed content enough, and why not? You just go around and put some electric fittings, and you go home at night and sleep peacefully. Maybe it's a better idea. You don't earn so much money, but then more peaceful. So we may say, well, how does this all apply to us? Well, we didn't hear anything about Krishna Prem. I mean, I wasn't saying anything about Krishna Prem. Well, after all, this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. It's a material topic. It concerns the material world. But it is spoken by Krishna, and how we live in this material world also affects how we get out of it. The Vanashram society, at its best, or as it's supposed to be, Daivi Vanashram is supposed to, or it does, it helps us to live in the world peacefully and in a manner that helps us to progress in Krishna consciousness. Sve sve kamanya bhirata sang siddhim labhate naraha. Everyone can achieve perfection by performing their work. How can they do that? Svakarmana atam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. Every person can achieve perfection by performing their work and worshipping Krishna. So the two things are supposed to go on side by side. So, Srila Prabhupada set up Vanashram Society. Apart from that, it's also important to know ourselves, to be properly situated. If we're not properly situated in society according to our vana or ashram, then we're going to be disturbed. Just like we find most people in the world today, they're not happy doing their job. The barber's happy doing his job. The carpenter's happy doing his job. The goldsmith is happy doing his job. That's his propensity. That's what he's trained for. He knows he's doing something useful for society. Everyone else is satisfied with him doing that. He's not in competition with anyone. He's secure. So they're happy in their situation. If the goldsmith tried to become a barber, then that wouldn't be allowed. Or if the goldsmith tried to become a gold merchant, that also wouldn't be allowed. And if the gold merchant wanted to become a goldsmith, that also wouldn't be allowed. Everyone has their particular duty to perform. And svakarmana tam abhyacha siddhin vindati manavaha. Everyone has completely equal right to worship Krishna. It's not that the brahmana has more right than the shudra. Everyone has the same right, just like we were discussing with those devotees. They're from the goldsmith caste. So they all have their duty to perform. And it's all connected with traditional dharma. They have to make the, what's that called? The tali? That's the Mangala Sutra, that's called in North India. The gold chain that the women wear at their marriage and on auspicious occasions, or just Some of them wear it all the time. Anyway, it's becoming increasingly dangerous to do so with chain snatchers here and there. But there are 30 different kinds according to the different castes. And then, and they also make the gold ornaments for the deities. And they go in and they measure the deity. And they have certain duties to perform. So they have to, they're connected, each group of each guild, you could say, of goldsmiths, they're connected with a particular deity, so they have to be, they have to be vegetarians, because you can't go and worship, they have to keep shikas, that's all going away now. And presumably before they, the day they have to go and measure the deity or put the ornaments, they have to observe fasting and brahmacharya also. So they, yeah, it's all connected with dharma directly. So yeah, it's a very good. So the whole society is based around the worship of the Lord or demigods, maybe also. Just like in Madurai, the Divya Deshams are there, but the most prominent temple is the Meenakshi Temple, Sundaresha. Which is not such an old temple, actually, only about 400 years old, isn't it? That particular temple. Maybe there was a temple there before that. Huge temple, yeah. It's spectacular, but it's not particularly old as far as I... doesn't have a very... at least that particular temple. Maybe Meenakshi was being worshipped there previously also. Just like Sri Rangam, the present temple's about... of course, there are different parts that have been, but the one Gopuram was built just 30 years ago, something like that. But that main Gopuram at the entrance, but there are, the parts of the temple go back 1,000 years. But then this deity has been there since the time of Lord Rama, or just after, Vibhishana brought him there. So maybe there's been millions of years, but this, the present temple, the is 1,000 years old, something like, maybe more, because Ramanuja also worshipped there. So, we should all know our, everyone, if we act in accord with our particular psychophysical nature in the service of Krishna, then that will be very helpful for us also. And if we try to defy that, that will also cause problems. Just like it's sometimes seen, there's a brahmachari who everyone except one person knows that that brahmachari needs to get married. And who's that one person? You can guess. The brahmachari himself. So it's quite common. Their mind is agitated. I'm not going to get married. No, and it did not marry you. It's all right. You have to get a little older still. I mean, she could get married, but it's illegal until they're 18. She wants to be a brahmacharini. She doesn't want to hear about marriage. All right, but actually all women are supposed to get married, so... maybe she's... thinking she wants to be a brahmacharini. That's why her mind's all agitated, because all women should get married. So, Srila Prabhupada, he spoke of re-establishing Varnashram, and he also spoke a lot about training brahmanas. So my understanding of this is that the core movement, the devotees who live in the temple, they should be brahminical. They should study Shastra. They should worship the deity very nicely. They should be competent for giving guidance to others. But it's not that everyone's going to live in the temple and be a brahmana. Brahmana is a small number, but then the broader society they can give guidance to, and that's Varnashram. So especially the brahmanas need training. Actually, everyone needs training. But first of all, brahmanas are needed. So Srila Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on training Brahmanas in particular. It's not easy because the culture is broken down. I mean, being a Brahmana doesn't just mean to be an introvert who reads books and can't relate to others and therefore he's just got his head in a book all day. But it means he has to be worldly wise also to give advice to others. That's why that Chanakya says the Brahmana sees through Jyoti Shastra, through Shastra in general, but for giving practical guidance, astrology is very helpful. Of course, Srila Prabhupada didn't recommend that for all his disciples. He'd said that he did speak of the importance of it, but it's a specialized thing. And even in traditional Vedic society, although all Brahmanas would have some knowledge of Jyotish, but it's not that they were necessarily all specialized in that. So it's very difficult. I was just seeing yesterday. There are practical considerations also. Yesterday I saw one, after prasadam had been served in this prasadam bhavan, that one Mataji devotee who's brahminically initiated, she's cleaning the floor with one of these soft brushes, which from my living in Bangladesh, where most of the Hindu population is Nama Shudra, which means lower than Shudra, they would never dream of doing such a thing because all the wet dal and sabji will go in that brush. And you can't wash that brush, so the brush is spoiled. But what it means is that brush will be used again and again, indoors, and just contaminate everything all the time. So I mean, it's just such a basic thing. Brahmanas are supposed to know about cleanliness. So he had the nice spirit to serve, but no idea that you have to this kind of floor. You have to clean it with the coconut brush, the stiff brush, which you can wash afterward. And that gets, that soft brush won't even remove it, that if there's some dal or rice on the floor. You have to use the coconut brush and water. First of all, the coconut brush, and then you use water, like this. And yesterday also, on the roof, cleaning with the outside, with the brush, the soft brush was meant for inside. And then again, it'll get used inside, and then no idea. So much training is. I mean, this kind of thing, as I'm saying, even the people who are supposed to be lower than Shudras, in as I used to see in Bangladesh and West Bengal when I was traveling in the 1980s, everyone knew this thing. They just think you're a complete idiot if you do that. But nowadays, because we're all modern and we don't even know anything. In Bangladesh, we used to go village to village, and we'd carry a generator with us because there's no electricity in the villages. And we'd show the film, which was a huge attraction because no one ever saw any film in the villages in Bangladesh. And most people had never seen an electric light, what to speak of a film. So they come, we'd show devotees in the West, and they all loved it, but they'd all laugh in astonishment at the point, of course, the soundtrack is translated into Bengali, that they're showing New Vrindavan, they have a big feast, and they'd see in astonishment, they're cooking, deep frying in ghee, and they can't imagine, because they have a bottle of ghee this size, which they give to special guests on special occasions. And then comes the point, and what could be better after a big meal than a swim in the pond? And they'd all laugh, because you don't go swimming after eating. It's a stupid thing to do. It's just the whole digestion gets completely messed up. So, I mean, they're just things that people just know. And there are all kinds of things like that. You don't drink coconut water after sundown, and you don't take gur after Chaitra Mas begins because it's very heating. All so many things. These are just all traditional wisdom which people have lost. What to speak of Brahminical culture, and no, but everyone wants to be a Brahmin. No one wants to admit that, well, I could be a Kshatriya. Yeah, yeah, I'll be in charge. Kshatriya means you just tell everyone what to do. That's all. And or I'm a Vaishya. But no one wants to say, well, actually, by nature, I'm a Shudra. No one will admit. But Shudras make up most of the population. They're also given respect if they're doing their duty nicely. This, according to their position, just like the goldsmiths, they came yesterday. Well, yesterday, day before. You respect them for they're doing their work nicely. Goldsmiths means Shudra by caste, but they're doing their work nicely. But no one wants to admit. No, I'm a Brahmin. I'm a Brahmin. So, see, I got a university degree. It means I'm a Brahmin. Prabhupada said you're a dog. Because you can't do anything without you need a degree so you can go begging door to door like a dog can. Please give me something, some work, so I can live. So that mentality, that I dependence on others. So it's a very difficult age. Everyone's completely confused, but materially, to organize, whether we're organizing an army, or we're organizing a shop, or we're organizing a factory, or we're organizing a spiritual movement, we have to take into account who's suitable for the job. Everyone has to be understood. What is their psychophysical nature? Of course, that's a big argument in for feminism in ISKCON, that the women, they should be engaged if according to their nature. Prabhupada engaged them in different ways, but the main psychophysical nature of the main facet of a woman is that her body and mentality are meant for having children. So that's not considered in the modern age, thanks to contraceptives, which the use of which is highly sinful. So anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. But this point, everyone should act according to their nature. Now, of course, in spreading Krishna consciousness, we often have to do things which we may not be fit for in the best way. Do the needful, Srila Prabhupada would often say, because it's just like, well, there's a gun in the house and you're being attacked, but, well, I'm not a Kshatriya. But there's a gun, there are people attacking, so put the bullet in, hold it up, and pull the trigger. Aim it at the attackers and pull the trigger. Of course, in the modern world, you might get sentenced like that. Someone, he was burgling the house and he slipped on the floor, and then he sued the people for having a slippery floor. Such things can happen, and he broke his leg. Such things can happen in America. It's insane society. But sometimes it's required. Just like, okay, here's a question. Is the town president a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or a Shudra? What do you think? He should be a Brahmana. He has to give the classes and give the spiritual leadership. He has to administer. Has to be a Kshatriya. Where's the money? He has to be a Vaishya. No one's going to clean, so he'll pick up a brush and clean. Transcendental, supposed to be. You have to be prepared to do everything. All devotees should be prepared to do everything. But the temple is especially... And actually you'll find in temples also that Brahmanas, they do everything. Like Ramanuja himself, when he was living at Sri Rangam, he would daily carry water from the Kaveri for bathing the Lord. Now you say, carrying water, that's a job for a Shudra. It's a heavy job. But he would do, because that's service of the Lord. So in Krishna's service, it's all transcendental. Brahmarpanam brahmavya brahmagno brahmana hutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma swab. What is it? Brahma karma samadhina. Everything comes to samadhi in Krishna's service. But it is that the temple is meant particularly for those who are of Brahminical nature, means that they're renounced, they're austere, they're satisfied to serve Krishna without sense gratification. They're satisfied to do that day and night. And the Brahmacharya Ashram Society is for engaging people according to the psychophysical nature they have acquired in previous lives. And they can serve Krishna also and achieve all perfection. So these are important considerations for everyone. Yes, we're trying to organize a society here. In the beginning you may have any, but even then, if you want to start a new center, you may say, well, we'll just send anyone. But they also require some training, because they have to start a center, you can be very pure spiritually, but there are material considerations also. Like you have to, there are so many things. You have to deal with the world. If the electricity bill hasn't been paid, and well, we're just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, and all of a sudden the light goes off. You think, oh, it's a power cut, and by 3 days later it still hasn't come. And you wonder why. Well, you didn't pay the electricity bill for the last 3 months. Oh, really? You're supposed to pay the oh, really? No one told me that. I didn't know. You should know. You have to pay your electricity bill every month, I guess it is. Is it here in Tamil Nadu? Every month? Every 2 months, whatever. Every month or two, whatever. So, you have to consider these things. Okay, we're cooking with gas. We've been using this. Generally, a cylinder lasts for 1 month, say, whatever it is. Not here, it won't be 1 month. And it's already 1 month. And we're in the middle of cooking the Sunday feast, and all of a sudden, there's no... Oh! Should have thought before. We're going to need a new cylinder. Not that it goes out in the middle of the Sunday feast, there are 200 people waiting, and there's nothing ready because... So this kind of thing, you might, well, I didn't mean to, I was just chanting my rounds, but you have to be aware of all these things. So some material ability is needed also. Srila Prabhupada, he would discuss accounts, he would discuss business matters, he would discuss legal matters, he would discuss Krishna. But he'd also discuss these other things. It's required for Krishna's service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he was first at the Yoga Peeth in Mayapur, then one young man came to him to be a Babaji, and he left in disgust, saying, "This Saraswati, he's thinking he's dealing with legal matters and trying to acquire land and accounts and money. He's not very spiritual." So he left him and went, "His gurus are real. He is a real sadhu." That was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. "He's a real sadhu. He just lives naked and chants Hare Krishna." So he's unable to see. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, what he's doing is completely as spiritual as Gaur Kishore. But his doing that facilitated now millions of people to chant Hare Krishna, because he was dealing with the material world. So that's also required. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there, unless there are any questions.
It's becoming tough to go on with one of the prescribed duties.
Becomes tough to go on with your prescribed duties. Just like it's difficult for you to be a gold merchant due to this, the competition. What's that called? Akka, was that? There's that company? There's one company can develop. Jai Lokas. They've made a, instead of being localized, they've made a big chain, and it becomes difficult to compete.
140
I see. Well, who is it? Recently I met someone. He was Marwari. I believe they were Jains, and they were here Velor people, and they were previously gold merchants, they told me, but now because of all this, now they've got into real estate. So they're still doing business, but they're doing a different business. That's all. The business their fathers and their grandfathers were doing is now they've been outdone by this Joy Lucas. What is it? Jai Luka?
Joy Lucas.
But that's a new company. It just came up recently.
They were in Dubai for 20-30 years. Lucas, five brothers.
Uh-huh.
They made money like anything for the last 30 years.
I see. They're in the gold souk in Dubai.
And throughout the world, they're resistant. So they found India a better market.
They found India the best market because there's probably more domestic sales of gold in India than all the rest of the world put together, I would think.
It's a must for anybody.
Everyone has to have some gold. Whereas in other countries, I don't know now, but in England when I was a child, to own more than one guinea of gold, that's one coin, was illegal. It's illegal. You couldn't do that in India because everyone's required to have gold. Everyone has gold. In India, there's no one who doesn't have any gold, except maybe some sadhus. Some sadhus have lots of gold, isn't it? There were the Incas in South America. They had so much gold. They were just like we have tables made out of wood. They'd have tables made of gold, just gold everywhere. They had so much gold everywhere. They have huge altars, all of gold, like this. So, yeah, then you may have to do some. But the modern society is making it that a few people own everything. Just like now they've brought in this bill for this direct investment in retail. That means all the small merchants in India are going to be finished within 5 or 10 years.
Walmart from US.
Walmart, and then so many others will come. Reliance is already organizing that. And all the small merchants will be finished. They won't be able to compete. I saw that as a child. It was already well underway, but there were small stores, family-owned stores. But they couldn't compete. They had to have a higher price than the supermarket. The only way they could survive is that they would have long hours. They would open up early and close late, and they'd do business. But now all these stores, they're also early morning to late night. So it just gets more and more competitive. And then the stores. I remember once I was in America, in Seattle, and there were some students living in the apartment next door, and I heard in the middle of the night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, some student calling out loudly, woke me up, said, "I'm going out to get some food." At 1 o'clock in the morning. Means he'll drive out somewhere, go to some restaurant, and eat something. Strange society. And you're up at one, what are you doing up at 1 o'clock? And then he's feeling hungry. You don't eat in the middle of the night, but you do. In America, you do, so. All the culture. There's no culture like that. So, yeah, the whole culture is spoiled. And that's why you'll find that there are no real Kshatriyas in the Western world. There's no caste who specialize in that. And so you'll find... You'll find that the leader of a country is this Margaret Thatcher. She was a woman in charge of Britain. So Thatcher means someone who puts the roof on the buildings. That means her forefathers, they were like that. Then you'll find one of the great intellectual, Skinner. His name was Skinner. That means takes the skin. After the animal's been slaughtered, he takes the skin off, and then that's their antecedents. So it's all mixed up. B.F. Skinner. Like the present Prime Minister of Britain is Cameron. That's a Scottish name. I don't know. Are they Kshatriyas, farmers? I don't know exactly. Don't know what it means. Who is the previous one? Blair. I don't know what that means. Before that was Major. Before that was Thatcher. Major, I don't know what. Maybe Major in the Army? I don't know. Wilson, when I was a kid, Harold Wilson was a. Wilson is a complete Shudra name. He would, this Harold Wilson, he was the Prime Minister of Britain, he would come on TV with a glass of beer in front of him, so everyone could see a glass of beer. Just show, like, yeah, I'm a real Shudra like you, so you should vote for me. That's the inherent message. Because they're real Shudra types, they drink beer. And people who are more high class, they drink whiskey or wine, champagne, port, brandy, gin, and so on. Sherry. Oh, childhood memories coming back. Yeah, society's a complete mess. That's a fact. Complete mess. So, we have to try and organize ISKCON in a sane way. It's difficult when we're dealing with, we ourselves are all insane. We're all coming from this insane society. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Nas, Jeva Gatir Anyata. How will this movement go on after I leave? Prabhupada asked Giriraj Maharaj and Giriraj Brahmacharya at the time. He answered, by sincerity, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, sincerity, yes, and intelligence. So both things are needed. Ah, question. What is the best engagement for Ananda Gauranga? Well, I already told him he can distribute Prabhupada's books. He's doing that very well. If you're living in a modern city like Gurgaon or Delhi, then you have some modern job and whatever it is. And then engagement in general is for preaching, distributing books. If you're not so competent, you can help in other ways like cooking, cleaning and things. There's always something for everyone to do. In the city, we're preaching and we just have to, still in the city, to organize the temple, you still need someone who's somewhat materially competent. And that means not only materially competent in, yeah, well, one of the main things of material competence is dealing with people, how to be able to deal with people. Just like I see some leaders in ISKCON who are, in many ways, they're materially competent. They're good in legal matters, and in many ways they're very good and sincere devotees. But I'm just thinking of one in particular right now, just very sincere and very hardworking and very good in legal matters, and which is required for leaders also, but terrible in dealing with people. There's really, there's no social skills. So, preaching in the cities, yeah, there'll be different engagements for people. And in general, book distribution, everyone can go out and join the Harinam party. There's no Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra there. Everyone can just engage in that. But as we're talking about setting up Varnashram society, Then the whole social setup, more traditional social setup, that becomes a consideration. And as we have big centers of ISKCON, we have to see also. I mean, even among brahmanas, then someone is more competent and suited for cooking, someone is more competent and suited for teaching, someone is more competent and suited for being a pujari. Someone may be good at training brahmacharis, someone else may be better at dealing with married devotees. Like that, we have to see who's good for what. Someone is brahmachari, should get married. Someone is a grihastha, his kids are all grown up, he should renounce. Someone is grihastha, his kids are all grown up, he shouldn't renounce. And maybe someone also is like, now I'll be a sannyasi. They're not fit. You be a vanaprastha. So we have to see what is suitable for everyone. Sometimes we see that someone is not doing very well, and then they get some engagement that they really like to do, and then they flourish. Balaji here is doing very, very nicely with the cows, huh? He's become a good gopal. He was always good at playing the mridanga and kirtan, but now he's found a nice engagement looking after the cows. You like that, is it? He's always shy to say anything to me.
But training people, it seems we need more than if we have good philosophy, we have knowledge, maybe we have knowledge also. As you said, it seems that for training.
Training, yeah.
We need people who have digested these ideas also and who have some practical wisdom also.
Right, training, they themselves should be competent, they should understand the whole thing thoroughly. Practical application and the ability to communicate that to others. And there's another problem with training in the modern age, because people think that training means you go to a course and then you're trained. Whereas in traditional society, of course there is Gurukul, but a lot of the training is just all the time. And that it goes on all the time. And it's not that there's a particular course, but it goes on all the time. Just like in relation with my disciples, I'm supposed to see what you're doing and then correct anything all the time. It's not that we're going to have a course and this, that. That may be there, but the practical training, just like how do girls get trained how to cook, or men for that matter, they don't go to a cooking class. They go in the kitchen, and then they're shown how to cut. You may think cutting vegetables is easy, but it is easy, but then you have to know. You're cutting different vegetables for different preparations, you have to cut in different ways. How many of you know how to prepare banana flowers for cooking? Anyone? You know? How to prepare kacha jackfruit before jackfruit sabji? Do you know how to do? What's the first thing you do? You have to put oil on your fingers, right? There's so many things you have to know. So the training is on the job. Making chapatis is easy, but if you don't know, you'll make a big mess. You have to. The first few chapatis most people make and come out a mess, and then. And you learn how to do it, and they're very thin ones, and then you can get very, very big ones. Somewhere I read recently that they'd make huge chapatis, massive chapatis, for elephants to eat. Even now in Afghanistan, they make. I never went, but some devotees who we were collecting in Denmark to buy vehicles for preaching in Bangladesh, and then devotees drove overland, and I flew over to get there ahead of them. So they were going through Afghanistan, and I saw they make these naan. They're one kind of roti, they call them naan. You get that in Punjab and Delhi also, but the size they have there, one of them is enough for a whole family. Such big chapatis. Not exactly. I mean, they're called naan. They're not naan roti. They're cooked in a different way on the side of the. I don't know what you do with a huge one like this, but you stick it on the side of the oven. That's the way. Then when it falls off, then it's cooked. Like that. So, yeah, everything, it's on-the-job training. But people think, why is he telling me anything? Because they think that training means you go to a course. Then only you're trained. But it's all the time. People are not ready for that because they don't have that culture. At home, the parents don't teach anything. And in school, they teach you in the classes only, and the teachers are not supposed to teach you anything nowadays. They're not supposed to tell you about anything about culture or manners or any such thing. So there's no such training, and people are just puffed up rascals. That's the culture. Yesterday I spoke about brahmacharis who, they're not fit to be brahmacharis, but those who want to be grihasthas, they should also know what it means to be a grihastha. It's not just a matter of getting married, but the responsibility that you have to take, and you really have to take it. So that education is required. It's much more difficult to be a grihastha in the modern age than it used to be, because society was much more integrated. Now everyone's on their own, so you have to take responsibility. You have to be able to provide. Grihastha has to be able to predict. I mean, it has to be some source of income. To be a sannyasi, someone may want to be a sannyasi. You have to say, I really fit to be a spiritual leader. In that invisible spiritual leader means sannyasira alpa chidra saravaloke gai. Any small fault, real or imagined, or of a sannyasi, everyone will broadcast it. Everyone will discuss it. And other thing, leading kirtan, if you can't play the kartals in time, if you don't know the words, if you have no sense of timing or pitch, then leave it to someone else. That's all. You can join in. So it's good to know what we're fit for. Doesn't mean you can't practice and maybe become a good kirtan leader. Or it doesn't mean that if you're not now fit for sannyas that you can't become fit. But of course, taking sannyas is not the most important thing. But it is a very responsible position. So those who take it should be well equipped. Their character should be irreproachable. They should be able to give appropriate spiritual guidance, to explain their philosophy, to preach to others like this.